Waddle and Sylvie, afternoons from 2 to 6 on ESPN Chicago.
So now in comes Eddie Pinheiro to try to give them the lead. This will be a 48-yard attempt for the man who took over after they auditioned half the people in the state of Illinois. During training camp, and Pinheiro will miss this one to the left. Well, that's the way it starts for the Bears. So here we go, 47-yard attempt. Pinheiro already has missed from 48. And this one is no good.
I think they set up for a doink at this point.
Oh, boy. No score.
They're making fun of us now.
Yeah, I know. It's,
You never thought that was going to happen,
and
did you?
And then Nagy kind of threw a monkey wrench in there, too, not allowing Pinheiro to get right after the first miss.
What is
and
that?
They went for it. What was it? Fourth and nine?
Something
fourth
like
and
that.
Six?
Yeah, so the one they went for on the second drive was fourth and nine.
Like, what are the analytics with Mitch Trubisky of picking up a fourth and nine? What is the... And, like, I understand he just missed... But I would still think his make rate is still above the percentage of what Mitch is converting at a fourth and long.
That's a good point. But Eddie Pinheiro was in his miss zone, which is between 40 and 49. It's like 50. I think he's 2 of 2, 50 and out. I think his miss zone is anywhere between 40 and 49 yards.
That's not the miss zone you want. I mean, look,
no,
there's
of course
never
it's
a
not.
Good miss
no,
zone.
There's
I
no mean, good miss zone.
55 plus would be a good miss zone. Like, hey, he's 0 for 4 and 55 plus.
Here, Eddie's 12 of 17 on field goals. He's hitting 70.6% of his field goals. He's 1 for 1 from 1 to 19 yards, 3 for 3 from 20 to 29 yards, 4 for 5 from 30 to 39. He's 2 for 6 on field goal attempts between 40 and 49. He's 2 for 2 on 50 and
beyond. Don't forget, too, not only has this been a bad cold streak, he's also missed an extra point in this streak.
He has.
So I want to play you this, and then I want your kicking take on this. And by the way, with the holiday parody song contest in full swing, there is going to be a new chapter of great songs, I think, to be written after this game. I am pleading with our audience to get us some good, fun songs about the bro hug between Mitch and Maggie.
I got a suggestion. If you can find a way to take Shakira's Hip Don't Lie or Hips Don't Lie and make it into a Christmas song, do it.
Well, how could you
You're
do that?
You're breaking the
know.
Rules.
Yeah,
it's
find a way.
Way.
That's literally
find
rule number
way.
One.
That is rule number one of the holiday parody
find
song contest.
Find a way to twist it into,
song.
Make add some holiday lyrics
or
to
you
it.
You want the terms hip in there.
Yeah.
You want the hip stuff.
I just add Santa every few words. Okay? Just sing Hips Don't Lie, Santa Claus.
By the way, our buddy Barstow Big Cat, who joins us at Thursday at 4 every week, had an interesting take. You know, a lot of people have thought that maybe it's Trubisky who's broke Nagy, that just the bad quarterback has broke the coach. But Barstow Big Cat today says maybe this whole kicking thing has something to do with how dumb Nagy appears to be.
Bear season is over, but Matt Nagy, you idiot, you're a coward. He throws Mitch Trubisky under the bus with a phantom hip injury with the last possession of the game, bringing in Chase Daniel, and it is a joke. He's in over his head. He's a clown. He's been a clown since he did the 43-yard kicking competition in the spring. His play calling is a joke. Guess what? Mitch didn't call a option play to the short side of the field with your banged up running back on 3rd and 1. Mm-hmm. You did, Matt Nagy. Yeah. You did.
No, it was a move.
It was
a move by Matt Nagy to do that at the end of the game.
If you bench Mitch Trubisky there, it better be for the future.
You can't.
And that's not what happened.
No,
Chase Daniel's not the future.
No,
so
it's
you
not.
Just did it so that you can push the blame off and have everyone think that it's not your fault and the whole genius visor thing is not so funny anymore. And I'm just so sick of it. And I think he's in way over his head and he's dealt with the media poorly all year. And it's just a joke. The whole thing is a joke. The Bears season's officially done. The thing is a joke. And Khalil Mack, whenever you want to show up, that's fine too.
I like how he just threw that in the air. Pardon my take.
Listen,
buddy, Barstool Big Cat.
I think we agree. Down 10 with 3 points. You know, what was it? Three minutes and 24 seconds to go, and your season's on the line.
Right.
Can we safely say?
Right. Yeah, of course.
Season's on the line.
So this is after they score, you're telling me, when it's 10 points.
It's a 10-point deficit. But you're down three. You're down 10 with 3 minutes and 20 some seconds left.
So you need a score, then you need to recover the onside kick, and you still got a shot.
Right, but your season's on the line.
Right.
Okay, like you're 4-5, and you have to win. I don't doubt that Mitch has a hip injury. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not calling Matt Nagy a liar. I think the hip injury exists.
Right.
But if the coach and the quarterback are confident that they can somehow pull a rabbit out of a hat because of how good they are working together in unison and how well the play. If the coach had more confidence in the quarterback, even with the hip injury, I ask you, do you think he makes the change?
No, of course not. It's just like Aaron Rodgers in the opening game against the Bears last year. Aaron Rodgers got wrecked. His leg was all messed up, and it was messed up for the first half of the season. He came back out, and he played through it. And I'm not saying that this isn't a Cutler, Mitch isn't tough thing, because Mitch was doing it.
Exactly.
This is about the coach decided, and he was bad before the injury, too. His best set of downs came after halftime when he probably got it worked on a little bit in that third quarter drive.
80-yard drive.
But in the first half, he wasn't great either. I mean, he got them into field goal range. But this is about him having no confidence in Mitch.
And the hip I think we're on the same page here. We would never tell you that the hip injury is a phantom injury.
No.
I think it exists.
Right.
I also believe that it is the type of thing, without being a doctor, that if the coach had more confidence in the player and the player had more confidence in himself, they would have come to the agreement with the season on the line, the right thing to do is to try to play through it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course.
So I guess my point is from an outsider's perspective, it feels like the ineffective play of the quarterback coupled with the injury is the reason why they decided to make it.
He says that it was before the touchdown that he decided. So it's a 3-point game. If you hold him to a field goal even there, it's still a one possession game at 6. He's thinking to himself, my season's over if I don't win this game. My quarterback has stunk. Now all of a sudden he's got tweaked with the hip injury. So he stinks and he's hurt. This is my opportunity to go desperate times and to go with Chase to save our season, because he had no faith whatsoever that Mitch Trubisky being bad and being banged up could ever fix the Bears season in that situation.
The combo was not one he was willing to live with for the final 3 minutes and 20 some seconds. That was his decision.
Yes. Now, what was your kicker thing?
Well, I mean, listen, I think we talked about this. I'm not so sure where Eddie Pinheiro's mind has been the last couple of weeks. I think what happened against the San Diego Chargers here probably, and I think that we were on the same page there, may have had a little bit of a lasting effect on him. And we wondered whether or not it was something that would rear its ugly head again as time went on. And then we saw, you know, that he was less than perfect with his kicks. The point I'm making with the kicking situation right now is this. I get it. Everybody wants some retribution. They want some accountability. So you get rid of Eddie Pinheiro and you bring anybody in. Well, what is that going to solve? Do you know what I'm saying? And again, I know I'm in the minority with this stance, but maybe Eddie is a guy that's got some serious talent. But for whatever reason, I mean, you got a lot of guys on offense that seem like their mind's a little scrambled right now. Throw the kicker into the conversation as well.
Right.
My point is if he truly does have some talent that you want to try to nurture, you've got 6 games to kind of try and see what Eddie's got, okay, in the bad weather. And if you think he's got some talent in there, you're not going to the postseason. Why not put Eddie on some sort of, you know, evaluation or audition for the final 6 weeks? Who are you going to bring in that's going to be an answer for next year? Like next year, you can sign guys as free agents. You can cherry pick off of practice squads. You can do all that other stuff. I don't know who's out there right now that you bring in that you think that you can groom now to be your kicker going forward for next year. I'm telling you that I think it's just as likely that Eddie Pinheiro's the best of the lot out there. And why not try to kind of recapture whatever he had going on and rehabilitate his you know, psyche and see if you can get him to be a positive component that you possibly could count on going into next year.
It's a good point.
I know there are a lot of people out there just say cut him.
Right.
You got to hold him accountable, cut him. Well, I would ask you this as well. Are you going to cut your right guard? Are you going to cut your center? Are you going to cut one of your receivers? Are you going to cut all of your tight ends? Because if
yes,
you want to hold
should.
Guys accountable.
I'm for that.
I mean, if cutting is the way that you're holding everyone accountable, then cut them all.
I would cut Adam Shaheen today. I would, I mean, like, I get some new guys in. Like, I told you in training camp, I would have cut Adam Shaheen. What is he proving? He doesn't fit the system either. But it's a good point about Pinheiro. And I polled the question. We've already almost 7,000 votes. And this is only 4 hours old. You can vote on the Toyota Twitter poll. It's on my timeline on Twitter, at Waddle and Sylvie. Should the Bears release Eddie Pinheiro? What do you believe it's going at?
My guess is more than half the people are saying yes.
71% say yes.
And I get it. People want an ounce of flesh. I get it. But the point I'm making to you is you go to Eddie and you say, listen, you got the next 6 weeks to figure it out. You can be part of this team. Okay? But and if I'm the coach, I'm not going to give him the opportunity. Every time you're inside of 53 yards, you're running out there. Barring some sort of, something. But I think, like this year, like last night, he'd have gotten all three attempts.
Yeah, no, that's the point, is you've already gone through the whole kicker expedition that they did in the offseason.
You know who's out there,
they
right?
They determined that it was worth giving up a conditional draft pick for Pinheiro. And if you look around the league, you see a team like the Patriots. They lost Scott Skowski for the year. So then they brought in Mike Nugent. But they went 2-3 weeks with Nugent, and they cut him because he wasn't good enough. They brought in Nick Folk. We saw Cody Parkey go sign with the Titans because he was one of the best kickers, one of the best street free agents available. They're just not out there. The Falcons did the same thing with Matt Bryant. They cut him because he wasn't good enough. They've got a kicker who missed a field goal yesterday. And then, oh, by the way, there's Vedvik, who the Vikings tried to make their kicker.
Right.
And we saw
how
that
exploded. Tried to trade for him, too.
See, Matt, this is my point. I'm not trying to tell you that Eddie Pinheiro is not making... He's making mistakes. But if you're going to start cutting guys for their mistakes, you're going to have nobody on offense.
Yeah, right.
And the point
cut
is...
the coach, too.
That's right. And you know you've got to solve your... You're not going to solve your kicker problem between now and the end of the regular season. So why not give this kid, who you deem to have some talent, give him an opportunity to rehabilitate himself and see if he can be your guy.
If he actually bounces back from this and shows you that, a little bit of adversity, a couple missed field goals, and he's okay, you can actually build some trust going forward for future seasons.
That you know that he could get through some downtime.
Because look at what the Colts are doing. They're hanging with Vinatieri based on a whim and a prayer because there's no decent options.
People want the kicker cut because they know they won't cut the quarterback. So this is the next best thing to lash
out. Here's why people want him cut, because you guys sort of convinced me. I had the opposite take at first. Because last year, what the Bears do, they kept ignoring that they had a kicking problem. Cody Parkey flared up early that he was bad, and they continued to not bring in kickers. He didn't even want to practice at Soldier Field. And they're like, that's our guy. That's who we signed in free agency. Here's the difference, though, in where you guys convinced me, and it's they're not making the playoffs this year.
Right.
Last year, they knew with them being good, there was always a chance that Parkey can burn them in the end, because each kick would get very big as you go to try to win a division and get in the postseason, and they never turned over every stone during those weeks to bring guys in. Now, what do you have to really lose? Your season is lost. So now it's not like Eddie Pinheiro can cost you any more going
forward.
See
if you can rehabilitate.
Yes. And like you said, you know who's out there already. You've done it. You brought in every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And I do mean that in every sense of those names. That's who they brought in. There was Tom, there was Harry, and there was definitely Dick. And none of them were good until you made the trade with the Raiders.
But aren't you guys excited to go to training camp and not focus on a quarterback battle and instead focus on Augusta Silence again? Aren't you guys excited to talk about another try?
Yours truly was not buying all this, the kickers talk.
Don't look over here. We've got 10 kickers and Augusta Silence.
Yeah.
Just get ready for it.
312-332-3776. Our buddy Harding in Orland Park. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Harding?
Hey, what's up, guys? If I hear one more fan talk about the Khalil Mack trade being a bad trade, I'm going to go insane. If we don't have Khalil Mack, there is no conversation about championship contention in the first place. If we get the damn quarterback pick right, we're not having this conversation. And on top of that, do you want to give two first-round picks back to Ryan Pace?
No.
So he can make another draft of Leonard Floyd and Kevin White 2.0? So stop talking about it. The two draft picks we gave up, they're never going to equal Khalil Mack because we have Ryan Pace making that decision. Stop talking about it. It's a good trade.
Well, those are mutually exclusive conversations to me. The whole thing about, well, it was a good trade or a bad. The quarterback, you whiffed on the quarterback. You didn't whiff on Mack. And you can't not make the Mack trade because you're afraid
right. That
you may retroactively look back and realize you whiffed on the quarterback. Those are separate conversations.
You're bringing the heat today.
Do you know? I mean, listen.
And here's also the reason why I heard Carmen talk about this. What did the Bears give up? They gave up the two first-round picks and a third, right? But they also got a second round back. So I've always been of the belief, Joe Banner explained this, if you can find one with a first-round pick, a talent, even close to Khalil Mack, you have completely yes. won your draft.
Yes.
So that's going to cost you one first round pick, okay?
Now
it's basically one first round pick for a second. That to me, a guy in his prime, a guy who's young and is a difference making player, and he helped vault you to 12-4.
Sure.
There's no debate to me. Now, can we have the debate? Why the heck isn't he flashing like he flashed
last
year?
That's a different conversation.
Even with all the double teams, should he be playing better? Good conversation, but I don't believe it's a good conversation either about if Khalil Mack was worth what you gave up for him.
Listen, you whiffed on the quarterback. You didn't whiff on Khalil Mack. Making the trade for Mack put you in a corner. We all knew that. But those are separate evaluations. The fact that you whiffed on the quarterback, you can't then go through life for the next several years not doing what's best for your team because you have to worry about making up for the mistake you made on the quarterback. You can't live that way.
Frank in Canaryville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, how's it going, Sylvie?
Good, thanks.
I was going to save my Cub talk for later in the season.
Okay. This is our buddy Frank who wanted Joe Madden fired like 3 years ago. Remember, Waddle?
He finally got his wish.
Yes, him and his brother.
Oh, yeah. But I was wondering, did you guys see that graph they put up yesterday when they had Trubisky, Mahomes, and Watson about their wins and their touchdowns interception ratio? My only question is, why didn't Mrs. McCaskey and Georgie Boy go there and fire Ryan Pace after seeing that thing? Because that was so upsetting.
This is my look. I don't need a graphic for that. I dream that. I mean, like, that's like as I doze off to sleep, Frank, that's what I see in my dream.
I mean, honestly, if you're Ryan Pace, how do you actually say, yeah, I can still do my job? When, if you take the Bears as a whole, except for getting Gale Sayers and Sweetness, have they ever drafted a franchise-changing offensive player that scores points?
In the first round?
Never.
So other than Sayers, well, Ditka? I mean, I'm trying to think more recent. Who's Peyton?
Maybe Greg Olsen. That's it.
Yeah, then they
got rid of him.
Then they got rid of him. Yeah. Frank, thanks.
This is a franchise. Okay, see, thanks.
Yeah, there you go. There's Frank. Andy in New Lenox. Andy, you're on ESPN 1000.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Dreadful.
Waddle, I got to disagree with you about the kicker. I mean, at this point, it's a lost cause. This guy could make his next 10 kicks. It's not going to matter. As soon as he misses one, he's done. I mean, it doesn't matter. With the playoffs out of it, there's absolutely nothing this guy can do to get back into good graces, because as soon as he misses one kick, the fans are going to be on him because of what he did. Like, if this was after the Chargers game when he missed the one and, like, he was still kind of okay, I'd be like, all right, yeah, you know, let's give him a shot. I'm not saying cut him and then, you know, like, figure out what you're going to do. If there's someone out there who's as good as Pinheiro or not better, you have to sign that guy, because there's nothing Eddie Pinheiro can do at this point. Because as soon as he misses a kick, which is inevitable, that happens. Kickers miss kicks. I mean, everyone's going to lose their
mind. Well, first of all, you've given up draft compensation for him, right?
Seventh round pick.
So, but it's still draft compensation. So if you get rid of him now, I mean, listen, I get it. People want an ounce of flesh, and for good reason. And he's missed kicks. I'm just telling you right now, based on what is not out there, you're not going to find more than likely. I feel stronger that Eddie Pinheiro could rehab himself between now and the end of the regular season, then you're going to find somebody that is going to be your answer for 2020. That answer is going to come more than likely in the offseason.
Yes, well, you're saying is you could do this all again in the offseason.
Of course you can.
But why create more of a problem with getting rid of Pinheiro, where he's a better chance to succeed than some of the scrubs out there now? Draft a guy, sign a free agent in the offseason, do that stupid kicking contest again with nine more guys, and do it all again then. But at least give the kid, when you have no playoff hopes, a chance to sort of
listen, in the next couple of games,
himself.
If he's 0 for 5 then and you want to let him go, fine. I get it. But, I mean, at this point, I don't know what it does other than satiate your desire to punish someone. That's all.
Ryan and Mayfair, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rye.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Hey, I got two plays I just wanted to talk about Trubisky and the offense. One was the one of the plays in the first game of the year was against the Packers. It looked like a cover three or maybe a man free where he drops back in his red zone and throws the corner and throws a pick and moves the safety from the center of the field to the corner for a terrible pick.
Yep.
I want to say in the fourth quarter.
It was the end of the game.
The end of the game. What you're taught as a quarterback is either the field is closed or it's open. And if the field is open, that means there's two safeties on the hash. And if it's closed, that means there's a safety in the middle of the field and you stare him down or you look oppo and then you throw to the left to hold the safety. The second play I want to talk about is yesterday, last night, I'm watching the game with my 7-year-old son, and Trubisky does a tremendous job of getting the Rams to jump offside.
Yeah.
Well, the play continues, okay?
Yeah.
He checks down to Cohen for 5 yards. He's got a free play.
Yeah.
Throw the ball down the field. Maybe you get a pass interference. But I see that all the time in the NFL, especially yesterday. I'm watching the Vikings and in Denver. The Denver quarterback got two free plays, threw the ball downfield. One play didn't work, and one play got a PI. So yeah. I don't understand.
Well, we did. We talked. Ryan, thanks for the call. We talked about that with Carmen, the good kid, that, listen, that comes down to football instincts.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's something you have to know. And if the wide receivers, like some people were saying who were there watching, stopped their routes, shame on you, too. I mean, that should be taught to you in second grade, and obviously I'm joking,
right,
but
no,
in the world of football,
yeah, of
in
course.
The world
it's
of football,
basic.
That's a given. That's called a free play, and nobody should stop playing on the offensive side.
It's amazing. Carmen had a good rant about that earlier today, and every quarterback knows that. And those are the things that if you would probably give Nagy the truth serum. Now, then we could sit him down and find out why he's done some dumb stuff himself. But as far as the thing with Mitch, the thing that's holding Mitch back is not his work ethic. It's not his lack of leadership. It's not his lack of athleticism. It's his lack of
being good at quarterback.
How to be a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, because
basic
that's not
quarterback stuff.
It's not the first time that's happened this year where you had a free play and you had a check down.
I know.
Now that NBC Sports Chicago is the only home for the Blackhawks and the Bulls, you can really connect with your teams. Not only can you watch every game, including pre- and post-game shows, but you have the My Teams app, so you can watch it all on the go. The My Teams app has the latest news on all of your favorite Chicago teams, highlights, analysis, and more. NBC Sports Chicago, the home for Chicago sports, and Good Time Patty Boyle.
I've got a couple more offensive players who were drafted who were good. Matt Forte, a lot of people have tweeted, and then I just thought of Alshon.
Alshon
was a good pick. It was a good offensive pick. 312-332-3776. Oh, we're Bears all day. Here for you to vent. Dan Weeder wants to vent, too. I was texting with him during the game. Boy, he's got some good stuff. Coming up at 4, we'll have some fun inside Waddle's World next on ESPN 1000.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
That's right. John Waddle's World brought to you by the fine people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC.
As was pointed out to me late yesterday, I don't know if it was Pat Boyle or somebody pointed out, Blackhawks outscored the Bears this weekend 11-7.
It's incredible. Yeah, the Hawks have it going these days, too, and the Bears don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something, this Bears offense.
You can also catch the Bulls and Bucks tonight, right? Bulls and Bucks from the United Center?
Yes, I believe there's a different sporting event every day of the week. This week, Monday through Friday at the United Center, Bulls,
hell
Hawks,
yeah.
Bulls, Hawks, Bulls.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. They better win some
they
games,
They lose
too.
To the Nets without Kyrie.
It was terrible. Then Boylan again goes on his post-game thing.
Did he go to Chick-fil-A?
He's again now, he's saying can't play for him. You know, they got the starts because they're off to a slow start. He can only get them prepared, but he can't play for them. Yeah. Well, maybe look in the mirror too, champ. I mean, maybe you've got something to do with it. It was all nice and good when he's telling everyone, look at me, I'm flying over to Finland and I'm going to see Lowry and I'm going over here to go train with Zach LaVine and I'm going to get everyone in the trust tree.
I think everyone needs to start doing push-ups again. Push-ups and gassers, that's the answer.
I'll go back one further. We just got to make up with Tibbs. I'm telling you, I said this last year, you need to go back to Tibbs and say, look, dude, we want to date again. We don't want to marry you. We're not good with each other married. Let's date again. Make our players good. Develop them. Here's a two-year lease. We'll give it two years.
Do you think after all this time, Tibbs is going to put his dishes in the dishwasher? No, he's not.
Well, that's why you're not marrying him. Because you know there are some issues. It's separate beds. That's like a separate bed type of... You know,
well, what are we, the Flintstones? We the Flintstones?
Just 2 years. Look, I had Luol Deng standing in the corner under Vinny. And what did Tibbs do? He came in, he made Luol Deng an all-star. Under his watch. Derrick Rose became an MVP under his watch. I've got talent on this team. They don't know how to play. And maybe if you just say to Tibbs, we want a date. Just date.
Could you argue that they've got as much talent as some of those Tibbs coach teams?
No.
Not even close?
No.
I'm saying towards the tail end of Tibbs.
No.
No? Not even close?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No. Jimmy Butler was still a top player. I mean, who's their top player?
Well, they don't have one.
You know, Zach, as of now, I'm not saying they can't become it. As of now, I don't believe, and I texted you guys this, that Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen would even be in number three on a championship team.
Not right now. It's hard to watch. Okay, back to football. Freddie Kitchen says the Browns will stand by Myles Garrett. They'll continue to support Garrett while also not excusing the star defensive end for his actions. NFL suspended Garrett indefinitely, including for the rest of the season and any playoff games that may be on the horizon. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that Garrett's appeal of his indefinite suspension will be heard Wednesday morning by appeals officer James Thrash, and that Garrett will attend basically to state his case in person. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reported that the Browns are hopeful what led Garrett to anger, notably whether Rudolph connected with Garrett in the groin, will help Garrett's appeal.
What do you think?
I mean... It's indefinite. I don't know. What are you appealing? The indefinite suspension? I mean, he will eventually be allowed to come back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Help saying that later. Yeah, we believe in second chances.
Of course. I think he will come back. I don't know when. I believe, it's going to be, a very stiff penalty at the start, like even up to 16 games. Like maybe the league comes in and says you're suspended for 16 games. And the NFL Players Association says, we appeal. And the league goes... Okay, we've heard the appeal, and an arbitrator, steps in and says, okay, they said 16, you wanted 6, based on, and I'm sure they're going to show video of guys who have done something not as egregious, but ripped off a helmet and done other things where that guy got a game or two games, hit side, and then at some point it's going to come down to, I think...
10.
Maybe 10, maybe a little bit less, but it'll be the remainder of this season and maybe a couple next year.
He needs to sit out at the beginning of next year for a few games. Game two, three.
As much as it needs to be punished, what it needs to do is serve as a deterrent to anybody else that we're not gonna do this. Tua Tagovailoa resting after successful hip surgery.
That turned out to be a scary story.
Yeah, yeah.
Tide coach, Crimson Tide coach Nick Saban said he wasn't second-guessing his decision to play his star quarterback at the end of the first half in Saturday's 38-7 victory over Mississippi State. Tagovailoa's dislocated hip ending his season, possibly his college career. Sources confirmed to ESPN that he also suffered a posterior wall fracture. The prognosis is excellent, and they expect him to make a full recovery. But as the resident Alabama fan in the room, Adam Abdallah, how did you feel about Tua, who was a game-time decision, still being in the game at that time?
He's fine. So Tua was probably going to play that play and then not play in the rest of the second half.
So he was going to finish the two-minute drive, and then it was
and then
he
that would have been it. He wasn't going to play in the second half. That's fine. Because it's not like he hurt the ankle. This is a freak accident that could have happened on the first play. If he wasn't healthy, then don't play him in the game at all. I'm not mad at Saban for playing him.
You don't want to say you're mad and then have to go sit at dinner and get stared at.
No, I mean, look, if he's healthy, you play him. If the doctor's cleared him and he's healthy, you play him. If he's not, then you don't play him. Did they need him to beat Mississippi State? Probably not.
They were up 35-7 at the time.
They're up 35-7. And I'll tell you this, Baylor blew a 28-3 lead to Oklahoma.
That was Oklahoma, not Mississippi State.
I understand, but there's nothing wrong if you're going to play. Okay. Don't then play the whole half.
I got you. Mellor, you were looking like you wanted to slap
I was just thinking, yeah, some people are going to troll, but when you really think through the situation and you heard Nick Saban post-game, is anybody really hell-bent on saying that Tua should not have been out there?
Oh, I think there are a ton of people that have been standing tall and screaming that was a mistake.
That is completely playing the result because, as Abdallah just said, it could occur at any point. So if a guy suffers a serious injury
Okay, but if you're up 7-0 or you're up 14-0, it's different than being up 35-7 at the half.
I completely agree with you, but then what is the slaughter rule when you have to take out your players?
From now on, I think it'll be 35-7.
Is it 14 points? Is it 21?
There is no slaughter rule because I'll tell you why there's no slaughter rule.
Once you're up 28, the key players come off. That's why I'm asking. Anybody who is ranting about Tua needing to be off the field is clearly playing the result.
Here is why Tua needed to play. Tua needed to play because Alabama came in fifth in the college football playoff ranking, and Saban knows how the system works.
So it needed a 55-7 win.
Absolutely. You got to go out there and beat the living crap out of Mississippi State.
And they didn't trust Buck Johnson to come in as the backup quarterback.
They did not trust Mac Jones to go in there and do that. Same thing. Right. So that's what you have to do. Because it's all about style points now. If they wanted to get into the playoff, which they probably won't now because of the injury, you have to have style points. Ready, you have to go break. In.
Right. Good discussion. That's a good discussion.
Silver lining, maybe the Bears get a discount on Tua in the draft.
That's what Big Cat was tweeting.
I mean, that's the most obvious
maybe
take if you're a Bears
fan.
To
the beginning of the second round.
They could draft him or Jalen.
By the way, the Raiders
got to
stop winning. The second round pick's going to be more like a third round pick. I thought this was going to be like pick 34.
Raiders get a top 10 pick and the Bears get number 60.
Wait, time out. How dare you doubt a coach that wears a visor? John Gruden wears a visor,
I'm asking for Matt Nagy to now wear a stocking cap or something. He cannot wear visor anymore. He cannot. I really thought this was something here. He's not visor guy. I was wrong.
I never understood visor guy mentality.
Visor guy mentality
there
is
are
Sean
so many
Payton,
guys who wear visors who stink at their job.
Yeah, but for the most part,
let's go back to the drawing board and ask for a hoodie guy. That's what we need.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson is now the favorite for the MVP of the National Football League at Caesars.
Are you believing in him?
Why?
You've always said you needed to see more.
Well, every week is another example or another opportunity for him to make everybody believers. Yeah, I believe in 2019, I do. Absolutely.
I think they have a legit shot to win it all.
I do, too. Believe, though. I mean, listen, the league is funny. The league will have to adjust to him.
If you tell me they lose and it's because someone bottles him up or he gets banged up like RG3 got banged up in a game, that won't surprise me. But I'm saying the way things are going now, believer.
Absolutely. Tom Brady expresses frustration with the Patriots offense despite their 17-10 win in Philly yesterday. That was a tough one on the eyes. That was a tough watch. The rulings on the Steelers-Browns brawl appeals expected by Wednesday, not just Myles Garrett, but everybody else
Pouncey's got three games. The other Browns defensive lineman has one game. Those are going to be heard today and tomorrow. So decisions will be passed out, I think, on Wednesday.
What about the Kaepernick stuff? What'd you make of that?
I mean, we can talk about that later. I don't think you can do that.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's more than a 30-second conversation, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Doctors are telling Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford he has a 6-week back injury. Not sure whether or not he's going to be. I'll tell you this. The Lions team that showed up and actually gave the Cowboys a little bit of a run yesterday, more than a little bit of a run, that Lions team will beat the Bears.
Yes. I think so.
Now I don't know if they'll play that way against the Bears the way they did against the Lions, or I mean against the Cowboys. But Derek Jeter is part of the headliners that list of newcomers on the Hall of Fame ballot. Jeter is among 18 newcomers on the 2020 Hall of Fame ballot, likely to be an overwhelming choice to join former Yankee teammate Mariano Rivera in Cooperstown. After Rivera last year became the first unanimous pick.
He won't be close to unanimous, right? Haven't there always been these detractors saying, and I don't agree with them, but he'll be more like 90-some percent?
Probably.
94%?
James Holzhauer holds off Emma Bachter, I don't know how to pronounce her name, and wins the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions.
She's the one who beat him, right, originally to end his run?
He captured a $250,000 first prize. He's made a lot of money.
Yes, he has.
$2,712,216.
Chicago guy.
You know, that's the third most. You know who has the most money ever won? Brad Reuter. $4,688,436.
So Brad Reuter, the guy you just named, Holzhauer, and
Ken
then
Jennings.
Ken Jennings, they're going to face off in a three-person
episode. That would be good. You know, that to me is better than
Bears and Rams?
Well, yes, that's for sure. But like some of these golf events, like that Phil Mickelson.
into the Bears Chiefs slot.
I would love to see Mitch play Jeopardy.
They flex in the Tournament of Champions.
No.
That wouldn't be fun. It would be fun. Would you rather have Holzhauer as your quarterback or Mitch as your Jeopardy contestant? What would you rather have? Holzhauer's your Bears quarterback,
What are Holzhauer's? What's his stature? How tall?
I don't know.
Does he weigh?
I've never seen him.
Have you ever seen him throw a football?
Who would you have more confidence in?
He's a sports gambler, so he probably knows that when a defense goes offsides, you need to throw it down the damn field.
Could he game manage you to a 10-3 win?
I'm probably going to have to go with Holzhauer under center. That's probably the worst Mitch ever. That's the best would you rather
of the last several months. We'll do that tomorrow, would you rather.
What if the category was football for Mitch? How would he do? Could he run the table?
American history, I would have more faith in than any football knowledge.
Meth found wedged deep in a 380-pound suspect's belly button.
Wow.
Following his arrest for possession of a hypodermic needle containing methamphetamine, a 380-pound Florida man was hit with an additional felony charge after jail personnel discovered a bag of meth wedged deep within the belly button cavity of the defendant.
I've seen some deep belly buttons, but never have I seen one that you could store meth in. Have you?
They discovered a small plastic bag containing 2.7 grams of meth. Jail deputy reported that the baggie was wedged deep within the belly button cavity of the 5'8 defendant. 5'8, 380. Ding! Seattle named the gloomiest place in America in a new study.
It's still a cool city. Have you been there before, Waddle? Play there?
No.
It's a great city. But it rains a ton. And this is pretty gloomy here, too.
Do you want to know, a new study by bestplaces.net named the Seattle-Tacoma-Bellevue area as the number one gloomiest place in America.
Yep, like what are the other towns in America?
Yes. Number two, Portland, Vancouver, Hillsboro area of Oregon.
Yep, Northwest.
Buffalo, Niagara Falls area of New York. Cleveland, Elyria area of Ohio. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Detroit, Warren, Dearborn, Michigan. Columbus, Ohio. Milwaukee, Waukesha, and West Allis, Wisconsin. And coming in at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th, Chicago, Naperville, Elgin area.
Wow. Gloomy. It is. Extra gloomy.
It is. Hey, Twin Peaks is your ultimate sports lodge with a menu to match. Pair any of their made-from-scratch menu items with a frosty 29-degree draft beer served by a beautiful Twin Peaks girl, and you're in for a legendary sports watching experience. Get to the ultimate sports lodge all winter long for every big game on 360 degrees of wall-to-wall TVs. Get to Twin Peaks to watch our guys take on the Giants this weekend. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Coming up next, Florida or Ohio. Yes. Then before we talk to Dan Weeder at 4, I want to express the level of surprise this season has been for me as a Bears fan. See if you agree. 312-332-3776. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
And Ford Ohio is brought to you by the Fields Auto Group. See Fields first for luxury cars and SUVs and snacks, of course, at fieldsautogroup.com. Woman accused of kicking man in the groin after seance.
What? They do a lot of seances in Ohio.
Kenneth Drake was no match for a drunk Christy Johnson. Drake said on Monday night, as Johnson chugged alcohol, he tried to watch Monday Night Football, but Johnson wasn't having it. In an attempt to keep the peace at his home, the two gathered around lit candles and called on the dead spirits to have a seance. Drake, however, said the seance didn't help. Drake said Johnson grabbed him by his hair and kicked him in his privates. Now Drake isn't taking any chances. He said Johnson is never allowed back in his home, and he's pressing charges.
That's not like something that happens in Dayton.
You think so? Like, nothing too salacious?
Yeah, no. I mean, there was no meth. There was, you know, like, there's no axe being swung. You know? No, like, nail gun being shot at anybody.
That would be two Ohios in a row. Wasn't there an Ohio victory on Friday?
I'm going with Dayton.
Dayton?
I'm not trying to convince you. I mean, you've got to play your own game here.
So I'm going to just, like, what's a quiet town in Florida? That's what I'll go for. Like, nothing
Cocoa
like...
Cocoa Beach.
Cocoa Beach, Florida. Good one, Waddle.
I don't have specifics, but it sounds like Florida to me.
Woman is accused of kicking a man in the groin after calling on dead spirits in a seance in Charlotte County, Florida.
By the way, this hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Chicago. Visit VasectomyChicago.com for information about their 30-minute no-needle, no-scalpel in-office vasectomy. That's VasectomyChicago.com.
All right, you get in your car. It's rush hour. It's a Monday. Got a long week ahead. You stayed up late, so today at work was a little tougher because you were watching the crap fest that the Bears fed us, and you're hot about it. You want to weigh in? 312-332-3776. We'll get to all of your calls. Dan Weeder next, and Matt Nagy on what he had to say to cover for the dumb stuff he said yesterday. It's all next. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.